So let's move on to some problems on in an area called dynamic programming. And this is a, these are in class, so today I'd like to review the problems, okay? And then we'll go through some of the theory for this. What's interesting is that these are problems that are related to an algorithmic technique called dynamic programming, which is one of the, which is kind of a funny algorithm technique. In that it's the kind of a thing that if, once you know how to use dynamic programming is remarkably easy to apply. It's the kind of a thing that once I see a problem that is dynamic programming, in 1 second I see it's dynamic programming. It's one of these things that it's easier for me to reinvent the algorithm than look it up in the book. Okay. On the other hand, until you see the trick, and students tend to have a hard time seeing the trick, it looks like a mystery or a hard thing. So when I teach my algorithms class, every year I give them a speech, every year they have a hard time with it, and that's life. This time, you guys are not going to be doing dynamic programming for the most part in its full glory. What I want you to focus on is a specific class of dynamic programming problems related to edit distance computations. And I'll tell you that the first two will sort of fall out of that. But let's think a little bit how we might do that. Okay, so in this case, what I would say is the two problems that you will be able to cannibalize from my programs, perhaps, or at least intellectually, and possibly more than that, are the first two. Okay, the latter, this one is a relatively easy using that similar kinds of ideas. The last one is one that, again, can be done with those ideas, maybe a little bit harder. But let's think about the problems. Okay? Let's think how we might do it. So the first problem is a problem on analyzing elephant data. Okay, you were given some data on a bunch of elephants. Okay, and basically you want to study the question: is it the case that the bigger an elephant is, the smarter it is? Okay, and so what you would like to do is you don't believe this theory. You believe that there are smart small elephants, and what you would like to do is to prove it by showing a large number of elephants such that you can order in such a way that they're getting bigger and bigger, but dumber and dumber. Okay? That's sort of what the situation is. Okay? So let's take a look at this particular example here. You're given as input, a bunch of elephants, and there is a... let me see what we're doing here. Right, I guess what you're supposed to output is the number of elephants. Let me make sure I double this. It's right. The first output line is the integer, the length of the longest sequence of elephants, followed by the list of elephants with that property. Okay? So here's what you've got. You've got here, it looks like in this problem, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, something like 9 elephants. Okay? And the first number is apparently they're... make sure I'm getting this right. The first number is representing the size. The second is representing their IQ in hundredths of points. Okay, so I guess you could divide by 100 in order to get their elephant IQs. The elephant IQs aren't that large by that measure, right? The elephant IQs seem to go from like 13 to 12 to 19 to 40. Okay, but your goal is to order the elephants such that you can find the longest possible string of increasingly heavy elephants whose IQs are decreasing. Any ideas how you might go about that? Let's think about how you might do this problem. Okay, yeah.
When I was looking at this an hour ago, my first thought was what I would do is maybe go through each item, each elephant, and basically attach to it any children.
What about children?
Children would be larger, dumber elephants.
Yeah.
And so I say, oh, okay, the first one, these children are this, this, and this. And then while I do that, I'm tagging the children and saying, oh, this is a child.
Okay.
And I do that for all of them.
Yeah.
Then, once I do that, then I only need to check the ones that aren't children. Because anybody that's been a child once obviously is part of a string that's longer than him being at the head.
Oh, I see. So wait, so what you want to do now is to, is this that you want to build a tree, or is it a tree,
it's a tree, but it's kind of an, I was doing it as kind of an implicit tree, in a sense, where I was saying, like, for instance, I say, okay, there's, I have elephants on elephant A, B, C, and D. And I say, okay, well, I'm going to go through A and find out who its parents
might be. By parents, you mean possible predecessors.
Yeah, a predecessor.
So okay.
So I say, okay, well, then A might be like B, C, and D.
Right.
Okay. And then for B, and then because of that, I have all three of these children.
Okay.
And then I say, oh, how many is B bigger than, or, you know, bigger dumb than? And it turns out it's just C. And then for C, I do the same thing, and it turns out C is bigger dumb than both. So then, when I'm done, you know, I'm going to have some number of children and some number of parents. But I know that only the parents can be part of the longest string.
Okay.
Because anybody, you know, a child B, you know, it's got some string that can go from B to C to D. But I know it can't be the longest string because he's a child of A.
Okay.
So what I really need to do is then do this implicit tree is just find the longest string.
Okay, so now what we're saying here is very interesting, actually. And this actually, if you think about it this way, this is not the way that I'm going to show you, but is in fact conceptually the right way to think about it, okay? Or potentially an interesting way to think about it. What is he building here? Is it a tree? Is it a what? You guys have just had 2 weeks on graphs. Well, a graph of collections of trees. Conceptually, what is it?
It's kind of a directional graph, really.
It's a directed graph, where the vertices are what?
Vertices are elephants.
There's a vertices are elephants. Okay, so there's a vertices are equal to elephants. And what does an edge ij mean?
Bigger, dumber than.
That means that I is bigger and dumber than J, right?
Or the opposite way.
J is bigger and dumber than I?
Your way is fine.
Okay, and what you're now looking for is what?
Basically the longest path.
The longest path in this graph, right? Now, what properties does this graph have? It's directed. Does it have any other properties of interest?
It's acyclic.
It's acyclic. Why do we know that it is acyclic?
Because no two entities can both be bigger and dumber than.
Right. Bigger and dumber than me.
It's true.
Okay. But there's no way that if we keep going through this thing, I'm not going to eventually be bigger and dumber than someone who's bigger and dumber than you. Okay.
We have our DAG.
So you have a DAG, okay? This is an important point here to see, okay? That what you really have is a DAG. And what you are asking for is what problem? The longest path in this DAG. Have we had any other problems of longest paths in DAGs?
I know we haven't done too well on some of these things, but did we have one? I forget if we did. Cubes, I think that may have been right. What was that? Which one was this?
Cubes was where they had cubes of big size and
various
colors and size. And they gave it one of them.
Which number was this? This was what number? Is this chapter 9? Maybe chapter 9, I think page 2211.
Yeah.
That was another problem that was basically the longest path on DAGs. Okay? Does everybody agree on that? Okay? So, So one way to think about it, an adequate way to think about it, and probably a good way to think about it, is to think of it as finding a longest path in a day. Okay? Now, how would we go about finding a longest path in a day? Okay? Let's think about this algorithm now. Okay? You would even propose it's sort of an algorithm, perhaps in a hand-waving way.
Very much in a hand-waving way.
Suppose I give you a day. Here is a day. Right? There's vertices 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. How would we find the longest path in a day?
The way that I initially thought of it was, okay, I know my starting points. I don't know if that's generally possible in a day.
Well, why would you know? What are the starting points in a day? Did we talk about algorithmic problem on a day that you can do to find the starting points?
Nothing. I mean, anything that doesn't have an arrow in is a starting point, but I don't
know. Okay. So what you really say here, there's no sort of topological sort, which I may or may not have discussed in here. Did I may have avoided that? Okay. So what you would like to do is to find an ordering of the vertices, and in fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 happens to work, where all the edges would go from left to right. Right? If you have a day, that's one thing you can do. Okay? And that means somehow that you can process the vertices then in order, knowing that you're walking your way down. Right?
Sure.
So what do we know? What can we do with this? How can we now use this observation? So right, so you know who the sources are. I would call them sources. The vertex that there's no 0 degree in is a source. A degree, you know, a 0 degree out is a sink. What would be the, how would we now, I would call a vertex that has 0 degree in as being a source, and a zero degree out being a sink. Okay? Because you get trapped. Like if you go down the sink, it's trapped. Okay? Things like that.
So my initial thought was to do something like, if I'm at a source, or, you know, as I'm doing this recursively, everything. Seem like it's worse. When I go to my, and I know what my level is, like
right.
For the original source, it's going to be 0, say, or 1, whatever you want to call it. Then I go to my children, and they're going to be 1 plus me. Now, if my child already has a value, then I would compare it and say, oh, is my new value better? If not, then don't do anything.
So you really want to say something like this. Initially, the sources, the longest path to the source is 0, right?
Correct.
And the longest path to all the other ones is, for now, maybe we'll say 0, right?
Yeah, or infinite or whatever.
So. Well, infinite means if you try to make my longer path.
Oh, right, all right.
Yeah, infinite is a bad choice.
Right.
Okay? And what you want to do is then you're saying, go out of the sink, source, and say to everybody, look, get to me at a distance of 1 plus that guy, right? So this guy's a distance of 1. You've processed it, right? This guy's a distance 2. This guy's 1 plus 0. That's also 1. It's old news. It's not that interesting. This one, though, is now a distance of 1, right? And now we process these guys. But what's nice about the topological order is that somehow now we know that the next vertex on the list, we consider all the incoming edges for it already, right? So we're done with this, the parents of this vertex. Now, does everybody agree with that? So let's check it out. What do we now know about it? What is the distance to number 4? A 1 plus 1 or 2. What's the distance to 3?
2, because it's higher than 1.
Because 1 plus 1 is higher than 1. Consider the outgoing edges. Now that one's done. Now 4 we know the longest path to.
What does that mean? The outgoing edge is 4. That says it's going to be 3. Now we finish 4. Outgoing edge is 5. Well, we can discover 6 in the cost of 3, right? Discover 7 at the cost of 3. We now process 6. That discovers 8 at the cost of 3 plus 1, which is greater than 3. We now do 7. 7, we can discover 8 at the cost of 3 plus 1 or 4, but we've already done that. 8 has nothing coming out of it. The longest path is a distance 4. And if we kept track of how we got to this place, who got us to 4? Well, this guy, I believe, got us to 4. Who got him to 3? That one got him to 3. Which one got him to 2?
But each node just, when you assign a new value, you just say, and this is your parent.
Right. Okay, so finding the longest path in the DAG is actually a pretty easy thing, right? Okay, so, you know, the parent gets updated if you get a better parent that comes along. Some people use that as a marriage algorithm or something like that. I mean, the parent usually is fixed, but sometimes you get a physical, I guess, upgrade spouse or something like that later. No intention to do this. I'll try not to. My wife, you know, I just had a good kid. But that's the, yes, what's the question?
I was just thinking, can we officially construct this tag for 1,000 elephants? Because my initial thought would be to add the burn tag to the DAG. We'd have to compare it to every other vertex and say, am I bigger or dumber than him?
Okay, so you could do this by comparing. So how much time will it take to build the DAG? You could do it by comparing each elephant against each elephant. That's n squared, right? Is there any way we can avoid having to compare every elephant to every other elephant?
Yeah. My guess is there's probably some way we can do an n log n type sort on this, as long as we can figure out the right kind of comparison.
First of all, let's stop and think about it. Is there any way, is it possible that the graph would have n squared edges in it? Someone show me a selection of elephants with the property that they would be n squared such a...
No. Yeah, that would be, yeah. I don't think so.
Well, n squared, what about being O of n squared? Not exactly n squared. But what about n squared over 2 or 4 or something like this? So, a set of elephants that you might need a quadratic number of edges in, correct? Bigger and dumber. Each one has to be bigger and dumber, right? So you have something like 1,000, 0, 1, 999, 2, dot, dot, dot. Now, between every pair of elephants there is a bigger, dumber relation. So that would require n squared edges.
You didn't require any factorial edges. The first one would require 1,000, the second one would require a dot.
You're only adding them.
Every edge is defined by a pair of elements. There's only a pair of elements, which is also right. But basically, so it's quadratic. So you're doomed to this being quadratic in the worst case. Okay, does everybody agree with that? And a quadratic doesn't frighten me. 1,000 squared is 1,000,000. 1,000,000 is a small number. Okay, or not a large. 1,000,000 is a borderline large number.
And we know that we're going to have to deal with the number of relationships somehow anyway, right? If we look at the number of relationships, as an abstraction, say, okay, if there are, you know, order of n squared relationships, we have to consider them in some way.
Well, okay.
So it seems like intuitively we're not going to get better than n squared anyway.
Okay. I claim that there's clearly n squared potentially interesting relationships. Okay, so if you have to enumerate all the relationships, you're done. Turns out, actually, there is a way, I believe, of solving this problem in n-log n time by using dynamic programming. Okay, but that's not why I want to teach you dynamic programming. Because in fact, the algorithm I'm going to show you with dynamic programming isn't going to probably be n-log n. But just so you know that there is in fact a way. There is in fact, I claim, a way to do this. And I think I'm right to do this in n log n. Okay, but we agree that if you have to build this graph, you are sum. You're limited. N squared is the best you can do. Right? Okay?
I think n squared would get us past the judgment.
I would like to think n squared. If I were the judge, n squared would get you by it. Okay? But then you'll find out if it's true or not. Okay? Any questions? Now, let's think, though, of a way to write this algorithm. Since we actually now understand this algorithm, I want to claim that that we can think of this algorithm as being a recursive algorithm. Does everybody sort of believe that? Okay. What would be a way to think of this algorithm as a recursive algorithm? Okay. I'm going to write out one way that I would think of this algorithm. You're basically computing the height of every vertex, right? I'm going to claim that the height of vertex B is going to be equal to the max over all U of the height of U plus 1 over all U such that there is edge UB is in the set of edges. Okay, let's think. Does everybody, I claim that what you're really doing is the following recursive algorithm. Let's make this an H so you can see that it's recursive. Okay? Is that I'm saying that the height of U is going to be equal to the max over all vertices U in B, leaving a set of vertices. Let's make this the height of vertex X. How about that? The height of S is what of impact? Okay, we're almost there.
Okay.
Now I think we're here. Over all vertices U that are such that US is an edge of the graph. This is exactly how we just did what you did, right? Does everybody agree with that? And the reason this works, so a couple things to note here. One is that the entire algorithm I just wrote here, okay? So it's a one-line algorithm somehow, in a way, in which. Second, the reason it worked efficiently was that by topologically sorting the vertices, I knew that I had the values of this height when I needed it. Everybody sort of agree with that? Okay? That was the point of topologically sorting it. So that when I considered this edge, I already knew what the height of that edge vertex was, right? If not, I'd be, you know, you say something, well, what's the height of this one? This is one more than that. But what is that? So I needed this order to give me a way to evaluate it. But once I have that evaluation order, this regards is basically the entire algorithm. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay? Okay, yes.
So then if we do this recursively, we are not going to necessarily know those beforehand the first time we go through. But if we store H of B's as we discover them, and we'll know them on successive, you know, if we try to find it for another person, right?
Well, what I'm claiming here is if you topologically sorted them, then I claim you know it, all of these at the time that you're considering them.
Sure.
So in fact, if you now went through and did this in topological order, Then, in fact, what are you doing for each vertex?
Right, then you will know.
Then, if you know that's threaded, this gives you an n squared algorithm for it. Okay? Basically, this gives you an n squared algorithm for it once you have the topological sorting done, right? Does everybody sort of see that? Okay? Because what it's saying here is, to process any vertex, you've already processed all, because you've done it in topological ordering, all ancestors have to be done, right? You may have also done this part, but that's not important, right? The important point is that by the time you get to this vertex, the values of all ancestors, their heights are null. Okay? And therefore, the act of computing this guy's value is just taking a look at all incoming edges to this vertex. And adding one to that value that you already stored up and seeing which was the largest. Okay, or finding the largest of the values you already stored up that are directly into here, yeah?
I guess what I don't see is the value of topological sorting, because it seems like if you don't know what its parent, what each of these parents are,
yeah,
then you basically just start recursing up through and until you reach a point where you do happen to know it. And then you, as you're bubbling back down, you store those as you go, you store the values. And so you're still only computing each node exactly once.
Okay, so what you want to say is, suppose this was a recursive, I see. So you want to propose some kind of a recursive procedure that is going to magically do this with the values of recursion.
Right.
So basically, what your recursive procedure is saying is, did I finish storing this? If so, spit it out. If not, go and compute the parents. Go figure out my value and then store it.
Right.
Okay? That would also potentially work. Okay, but I think of that as messier. I think that it's easier and conceptually cleaner to think about this topological sorting. Okay? Any questions? Especially for the following reasons. Suppose you wanted to topologically sort these elephants. Do you need to do a real topological sort? How would you topologically sort those elephants without actually even building the grass? Okay, let's think about it. Can you sort those elephants without building the grass? Topologically sort means that you're considering an order of them such that basically all edges go to the right. Correct? What would be one way we could do that?
Seems like if we did, and I don't remember what the term is, but if we did two sorts in the correct order and they preserved their ordering.
Okay, a stable sort or
stable
something
sort.
Like that, yeah.
I think that might work.
So what would be the criteria that you're using? Basically, you want to say you want to sort the elephants. Not topologically, but...
Right.
Quick sort them.
Right.
Okay? And what is the criteria that you would use?
The first one would be...
Suppose you sort first on...
Weight.
Weight. And second on IQ.
Right.
Where the weight is supposed to be sorted...
Biggest to smallest, and IQ would be smallest to biggest.
Biggest to smallest, the other one was smallest to biggest, right?
Right.
Is everybody, you're going to bunch all the elephants up by weight, and then they're going to be organized within weight classes by doubleness, right? Something like IQ is going to go like that. Okay?
Wait. Can you repeat that one? I don't think I just said that.
Okay, so what I want to claim here is, the key point is, if we sort the elephants by weight, they're going to fall into blocks depending upon their IQ, right? But these all have the same weight. If we have these are the elephants that weigh 1,000 pounds. These are the elephants that weigh 900 pounds, 800. Can there ever be an edge that goes like that? Because we're not interested in going from lighter elephants to heavier elephants. We're only interested in the chain of successively decreasing elephants weights, right? And within IQs, we want, as we go through the ones that we're interested in, we want
smarter.
Smarter. So we want, we're not, we might as well have them sorted by IQs, I guess, increasing, right? So a run of elephants of the same weight, but which are successively smarter, is interesting, right? So you want to sort them successively. The weights decrease, the IQs increase within each block. Okay? This I claim is a topological order for you, right? Okay, does everybody agree with that? Any questions? It's an interesting way to think about it. Okay? But that isn't a good way to think it. It's good because it's a different treatment that I'm giving you sort of in the book. Okay? Because you guys came up with this algorithm, and this is a good one. Okay? And in fact, you're going to illustrate several of the points that we're going to make with dynamic programming in general. Okay? So you can understand what you're doing now. This is a very good thing to do. Any questions? So one way we could do this, really, in fact, a perfectly fine solution that might be the right way to program it, even. I don't know if I completely believe that. But actually, I will almost believe it, in fact. Okay? In fact, I will tell you it probably, quite likely, is the right way to program it, if you want. Okay? Is sort the elephants like this. Then when you apply this recurrence to initialize the height of every elephant to zero, then for each elephant, as it comes up in its order, you ask yourself, what elephants before it, okay, have edges to it? And of those, what is the moment maximum height, right? Any questions about that? How would we figure out whether an elephant has, whether they're, which elephant, now let's say here we have a particular elephant here. Which elephants have edges to this elephant? Now sorting them in your blocks like this.
Right, it can only be people in successive blocks.
Successive blocks are in?
They have to be to the left.
They have to be to the left. And basically, we have them ordered by smartness, right? So basically, the probably it's the beginning parts of each block in principle. Maybe there's smart ones at the end here that are smarter than me. Okay? But basically, I want to now know which one of you guys has the biggest height, right? Does everybody see that? So really, how could I do this step here? It says find the max. So actually, I can even build this graph.
Well, not if you know how to get to those to examine them. As soon as you dip around that.
Elephants in terms of desirability. Okay? Now you have by sorting them first by weight times dumbness.
There's IQ is talking right. Note it here.
Okay? We're now going to evaluate the elephants. We now know that we have been topologically sorted our elephants conceptually, right? Does everybody agree with that? Not a question here, like why have we topologically sorted them by? Because basically we know that we've got the right ordering here, such that we're never going to want to put one of these elephants ahead of one of those elephants. Okay?
Well, then we're always going to know our parent because, shouldn't we just start at the beginning and work through it linearly?
Basically, you're going to start at the beginning elephant and work through it. Okay, what does work through it mean?
Well, do exactly that and say, for the first one, we happen to know, okay.
First one's a height zero.
It's a height zero.
Right.
And now for the second one, we have to say,
how do you do the comparison here? Let's say in general, but here you've got this elephant here.
Right.
How do we find out the height of this elephant?
And we know all of this.
You know the height of this elephant. One, two, three.
You know, who knows what it is.
What's the height of this elephant? Well, how do you find out?
Wait, height means its weight?
Meaning its position, its distance, the longest chain it's involved on, right? That's really what you would do, was computing the longest path for every vertex here, right? That's what you want to do for your elephants.
Oh, so it's going to be the, it would have to be the last, it would have to be basically, you only have to check the last one in each list. Because you've already got, like, there you have 1, 2, 3. So it doesn't matter if we find it with that.
Oh, no, that's not true. It's not true. Okay. But what is it? You make this too hard.
You got to check all the previous ones.
Check all the previous ones, okay? Yes. What does checking all the previous ones mean?
For each one that I've already got to ask, am I bigger or dumber than you?
Well, we know that you're bigger. Well, you're at least as big. I don't know if that counts in here. Okay, so then you've got to compare. Okay, are you bigger and dumber? You're bigger and dumber? Good, then I can get a distance of 2. Bigger and dumber? You're good, I can get a distance of 3. Not bigger and dumber. And it's going to be 2 + 1, 3. Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to give it has to be that n squared type algorithm.
Now, where is n squaredness?
So we're going through each one once,
right.
And then we have to check everybody in proceeding.
Right.
So there's your answer.
So checking every one of them, okay, and for doing that, I'm checking all the preceding ones. Does everybody agree with that? So that's why I'm getting n squared here. Okay? And you see that I'm doing this with an implicit, completely implicit graph? We're finding the longest path in a completely implicit graph. Never actually built this graph. Okay? But yes?
That's what my gut instinct says. Is this more efficient to do this double sort and then the implicit graph rather than just create the graph and then just walk through it?
Well, to me, this looks like a piece of, I mean, let's think about sort of, is it more efficient, not efficient? Everything is quadratic, right? Both ways of doing it are quadratic. So you can monkey around with sorting, which is clearly going to be quick. You know, even if you botch it, it's quadratic. But if you don't botch it, it's going to be n log n. And now you're walking through this. All you're doing is doing a comparison at each step. You're not building any graphs. Nothing bad can happen to you. You're not using a lot of memory. You're cruising through an array, you can't beat it, okay? So to me, this seems like a very, very slick little slick way to do it, right? I mean, how much code should this take?
A lot.
You say a lot? Okay.
Well, you're doing your sort twice.
Okay, how many lines of code is it to do a sort?
Offhand, I shouldn't be that one.
Should be one. These are calling a sort library, right?
Except for we can't call the sort libraries in Java.
Okay. Okay. By the way, you do it in C or.
But yeah, it shouldn't be terribly long.
Okay. Basically, sort. Simple sort. And in fact, if you're dealing with quadratic time behavior, you use your dumber simple sort. It's probably not going to really slow you down. That's not the rate limiting step.
Right. And then, you know, just doing the comparisons is, you know, the loop of a. Four lines.
4i goes from 1 to n, 4j goes from 1 to i, something like that, right? Are you, you know, if so, pop.
Bigger number, yeah.
Okay? So in fact, this is actually, we've now given enough detail here, okay? And we'll explain it again as you look puzzled, okay? But it's important to see here that now you should not only be seeing that we have an idea, we have a very, very short program for doing it. Okay, does everybody see that?
Yeah.
I would be using something called an array.
No, I mean like,
yes.
Are you going to need
two arrays, three arrays, or like...
What? Two arrays, three arrays, okay. Would I, how would I do it?
Right.
Okay, let's think about what exactly, what would I probably do?
Well, it looks to me, I haven't read this thing so carefully, but it looks to me they want to know the number of the elephant based on its original numbering, right? So what would I probably do? If I was doing it this way, which for now I'm doing it this way, since we've developed it this way,
okay, I would probably use an array of structs. Okay?
As weight IQ rings original placement.
Yeah, I'd probably say that it's an array of, right, weight, structs, weight, IQ, and ID number, basically. If you want to do it with three arrays, you can do it with three arrays. Yeah, when you sort the elephants, you've got to sort of keep the humans to keep this around, right? So, you know, now it's talking about a taste question. Arrays, struct. I would need my slap in a struct and sort it, is what I would be saying. And so what is the important point here? Again, just to review, we sorted the elephants based on, in such a way that all possible links of bigger, dumber, all bigger, dumber, no, it's, if we want, go ahead.
Bigger, smarter.
Bigger they are, the dumber they
bigger
are.
Bigger, dumber. All that they're organized such that the bigger elephants, the bigger, dumber elephants are always to the right, left of smarter, sleeker elephants, right? Now notice there's not a single topological order here. There's lots of ways we could have sorted them, right? Remember we sorted them here based on weight, and then based on, IQ? Could we have done it on IQ instead of weight, and then weight?
Yeah.
Could we have mixed them up in some magical way?
What do you mean mix up?
Well, such that here, notice, look at this graph. How many ways could I have topologically sorted this thing? I did it originally, I said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's other ways to topologically sort it, right? So I would probably say I could have done 2. Anything, first of all, that had 0 incoming things could have been done.
Right.
Then once that, it looks like I'm stuck, now I have to do number 1. Now I have a choice of 3 as my only real choice, right? Once I have 3, now my world is open, I can do either 4 or 5. Okay? And depending on if I did 5, then I've got 3 choices for my next one, right? There's lots of different topological orderings. It's a partial order. Did you talk about partial orders in 213? Post-sets, partial orders? I don't think we'll talk about post-sets as
a
partially ordered set. Never mind.
Okay.
You can do it if you're a combinatorics person, you'll call it a post-set. Okay. But it's a partial order. If you're a computer scientist, you'll call it a DAG, okay? But it's all the same, sort of, it's almost the same thing, okay? For your purposes, the same thing. Okay, does everybody sort of see how this thing works? We see that by analyzing it, not only does it work, but it works easily, okay? That's the important point about dynamic programming, once you understand it. And what is dynamic programming? You ask me to define dynamic programming. It is evaluating recurrence relations by storing partial results. That is all that dynamic programming is. So where is the recurrence relation? Here's the recurrence relations. Now where were the partial results? Well, these were the partial results, right? And by having topologically sorted up, our partial results were ready for us when we needed them. Right? Any questions? Okay? So that is conceptually the right way to do this problem. Okay? Or certainly a correct way to do it that sounds to me very easy to program. Okay? And does the job. Any questions? Okay?
I guess just to store it all in one array, again, the height, you know, from your stuff there. And then it's just a matter of working with one array.
Well, okay, I don't see any reason not to have height, weight, and IQ. 3 fields, height. And also, you're right, 100% right. I also want to have the height, which is initially empty, and then I'll want to store that. You're 100% right. I need to have the height field.
So
Okay, which initially I'll set them all to zero, and then I'll fill in as time goes by, right? Whenever you give me a reason to fill in the heights. Any questions? Okay? So hopefully we can do this one. Okay?
Now, let me go through the rest of the problem. There's at least one more problem. Okay? Let me go through the next problem, which is sort of similar to it, to give you some more inspiration here. Or not inspiration, but I'll claim that if you think about it the right way, it may be a similar sounding problem. Did anybody ever read the book Yertle the Turtle? I don't know. This is more meaning to me at this point because I now have a 2.5-year-old. But it was a Dr. Seuss book, okay? It's about a mean turtle that and this is where they talk about Yertle the Turtle, just so you have the cultural background here. Okay? Yertle the Turtle was a mean turtle who was the king of the turtles, who, in order to have a big high throne, ordered all the other turtles to form a stack so that he could stand on top. And the turtles eventually protested because they were sort of suffering at the bottom. Yertle was very happy, he could see very high. But the turtles on the bottom, their shells were being cracked, okay, from the weight of the previous turtles. So what was the story? Yertle is the king of the turtles, and he has a certain number, up to 5,607 turtles, okay, that he's a ruler of, each of which has a different weight and strength, okay? Your goal is to build the largest stack of turtles that are possible, given the height and weight and strength, the weight and strength constraints of the turtle. So let's look at this thing. The input on this problem says that you've got two, each line is a turtle. You've got two turtles for their weight and strength. Okay, the first number is the weight. The second is how strong the turtle is. Okay? Now the strength describes the turtle's overall carrying capacity, including its own weight. So a turtle with 300 grams weight, okay, and a strength of 700 can afford to carry, 1,000 can afford to carry 700 grams of turtles on its back. Okay? Your goal here is to order the turtles. Find the longest, tallest tower of turtles you can build, such that no turtle has more than its capacity on its back. Does everybody agree with that? Okay. Any questions about that?
Trivial question. How do you know when the input's done?
Presumably it says that your output is a maxima, a single integer indicating the number of turtles. Presumably it's each turtle, each file, it's only one, it looks like it's only one input. So it's the end of file is my interpretation.
Okay.
Okay.
And you let me know if I'm right.
Okay. So let's think about this one. Is this one, how does this problem, the turtle problem, seem like it compares to the other one?
Yes, you can now know about the elephant problem. Can we use the same kind of an idea to think about, or how would we think about organizing the turtles? You want to sort the turtles by weight, so that here you've got heavier turtles. Is this that they go from light turtles, 100-pound turtles, to 2,000-pound turtles, let's say.
And then each block, each weight, sort those turtles by carrying capacity.
the second notion you look at, these are all 100-pound turtles. And you torque them by strength. Okay? And so this one has a strength of 200, let's say, 300, 350, and so on. Okay? Is it clear that you... Okay, well, let's just think about it. I'm not sure we know what it is. So now we have an ordering of turtles. But now, is that the right ordering or not? Let's think about it. What properties do we know about these turtles? So in principle, you want a strong, your ideal turtle at the bottom is sort of a strong light turtle, right? You want a strong light turtle at the bottom.
You want light turtles everywhere.
And you want the principle light turtles everywhere, right?
Right. Especially at the top, because his weight is getting added to every single turtle.
Right.
Each turtle will below him has to carry his weight.
Everybody wants the strongest, heaviest turtles in the bottom, I would say.
Certainly, if you want heavy turtles, you want them to be strong, and you want them at the bottom, right?
I guess I'm not actually concerned about the strength as much as the strength in comparison to their own weight. It doesn't help to have a turtle 1,000 strong if he weighs 1,000.
So the desirability of a turtle is going to be measured by partially by the difference between its weight and its strength, right? But not completely.
And also the weight by itself, I guess, matters.
The weight, it also matters, right? Well, the weight.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's not completely, of course, because the very bottom turtle, well, as you're moving, I guess every turtle carries its own weight, so yeah, it matters. Basically, it's like a factor in a sense. I mean, the lower on the stack you are, the less your own weight matters.
Can we order the turtles? Suppose I told you which turtles are on the stack. Can you order the turtles so that they would do the job?
With brute force, yes.
What does brute force mean?
By just trying every combination. And
how many combinations are there by that turtles?
A lot. There's not combinatorial thing yet. There's n possibilities for the first position, n minus 1, and n minus 2 looks like n factor.
So if you want to say, what you do is construct all possible permutations of turtles, but there's 5,000 factorial turtles, you're that's hopeless.
Right.
Okay? So that's certainly not true.
It just sounds to me like network. It sounds like exactly like...
Why network? We haven't talked about network flow. So
we haven't, but when I was trying to do GrabComs, I read that you had a book about that. And it's like you're trying to build a chain of turtles, a specific network path, and each turtle will add a specific...
Well, when you tell me that you're going to have a graph problem, you should be telling me what the graph is. This is the way that I always think about it. You're telling me, it's network flow. First, you tell me what your graph is.
You have a graph of turtles, each turtle being a vertex, and you have an edge of one turtle to another turtle, and the turtle can carry that turtle.
They can carry that turtle and all its parents.
Well, the trouble now is that you carry it and all its parents. Now you have both the graph and the solution. You sort of,
right.
Its parents is part of the solution.
I see. So you just want to adjust the parents?
Right.
Okay. Let's say that's not right. But what I will say is that you want to find a way to do this as a, if you want to think of it as a graph, think about, is there, what worked on the previous problem? We found a ordering of the vertices, there are elephants, now turtles. such that we know that any power is going to go from left to right. That would seem like the first step to try to apply this kind of an idea. Right? And then the question is, do you have a different recurrence relation? Okay, what kind of a recurrence relation might you define now for the weight of the turtles, for the, you know, largest tower you could build, the height of the turtle? Okay, you're still interested in height, but the criteria is not what plus what its ancestor's height is. Where is it?
It's...
Or what changes here? If we had the right ordering on the turtles, so that we knew who the potential ancestor turtles were.
Well, yeah, actually, it seems like the same kind of thing, except for you just have to eliminate some possibilities if you can't carry that load.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can just go through every one and say, oh, is this actually larger than what I'm carrying now? Yes, it is, but I can't carry it. And then just keep going through it and find the largest, you know, string that you actually can carry.
Okay. So it seems to me, and again, I'm not sure at this point, I think I would like to get to my original presentation, but let's think about what we're doing here. Basically, the same paradigm would work if you could find an ordering of the turtles such that you know that they are right in, that if they're going to appear in the solution, they're going to be ordered from left to right. It's basically what you want is a subset of that ordering, right?
Order it initially not by its strengths, but by its actual real strengths.
You can order it by real strength if you want. You can order it by any way you want. The question is which way it works. And that's something you have to think about now. Okay? So what is, can you come up with an ordering on the turtles such that you would never go wrong? That the optimal solution, an optimal solution can be drawn from left to right.
Can you make an argument that what this turtle that has can carry the most on its shoulders based on its weight and carrying capacity would always be in the bottom?
You say that you always want that the delta, that the largest turtle, the one with the greatest delta, so there's the delta strength.
Yes.
You want to order it right by delta strength. And that you claim that it never pays to have, this turtle has a delta strength of 999. This thing has a delta strength of 1,000. Right? Mm-hmm. It never pays for this turtle to be on top of that turtle.
Right.
Is that true?
Because the 999 can't carry the 1,000.
Oh, this is delta strength, right? Let's think about that. Is it clear?
Oh, no, yeah, sorry. No,
is it not obvious? Is it not true?
No, I just don't agree with that. It can't be true. That's right.
Why can't it be true?
Because we have a greater delta, but the lighter or heavier doesn't. Yeah.
So this turtle could be, have a strength of 1,000. It might weigh 1 pound and have a capacity of 999. You know, let's say a capacity of 1,000.
Yeah.
And this turtle might weigh 2,000 pounds. Wait, what?
It could weigh 2,000 and have a strength of 2,000.
This could weigh, let me think about it. So right now you have this turtle, right, has a capacity that weighs 2,000 and has a strength of 3,000. We want to know, is it always, do we ever want to have this turtle sit on top of this turtle? That's really the question. We agree that if this one has weighs 2,000, has a capacity of 3,000, if it weighs 1 pound, it has a capacity of 1,000. This turtle could sit on that turtle, right? Is it ever possible that this turtle might want to sit on that turtle? Okay.
Well, Yeah, I think so, because if the one that's the difference of 999, if it's a billion and a million 99,
10,000 and 10,099.
Sure. Then everybody below that turtle is going to have that carrying capacity,
This turtle was a weight one and had a capacity of 1,000.
Right. It can't even carry the one.
And this one, let's stick what we're talking about here. Okay, I want to claim is that delta strength is not the right way to order it. But let's prove it, okay, because it's easy to be slippery here. Suppose, let's say, our turtles were, we had one turtle, we had weight, why not, let's say, one, and strength, 1,000. And we have another turtle that weighs, let's say, 50, and has weight 1,000, has a capacity of 1,050.
Deltas are 1,000.
Deltas here are 1,000 and 999. I claim in this case, this turtle. Right now you have them sorted by deltas, right? This turtle could ride on top of that turtle at the greater path of 2. This turtle could also ride on top of that turtle at greater path of 2, right? But we haven't necessarily gone wrong. This example does not prove that we've gone wrong by sorting them by deltas, right? Because it might be that there's always an optimal solution in one way. Can we ever prove that we've done wrong by sorting them by deltas, residual capacity? Let's think about that. Okay? Might we ever regret having this turtle with more capacity listed last?
Sure. If that one could have more capacity, we want to see that. So the deltas we can make by just adding numbers, we can make
right.
as large or as small as we want. And so we know that, one way or the other, with 2, we can have a height of 2.
Mm-hmm.
I have to wait.
It's probably now. Okay.
Change the one from a carrying capacity. You have a 50 and a 1050.
Yeah.
Just change the other one to a 1 and a 2.
Wait, which one? This one would be 1 and 2.
And that one's 50 and 1050. Now, in theory, you'd want the 50 and 1050 on the bottom because it has a larger delta.
Right. So now you're telling me that under this example, if I sort them by increasing delta, then that's the only way I can do it, right?
Right. But if you...
Is there a way that I can show it that by sorting it by increasing delta is the wrong thing to do? Is it sorting it by increasing delta ever the wrong thing to do? That's really right now the question you have to think about. Okay? one way or what? So give me a clear example, which sort of gets my delta. Okay. Maybe you need more than two, I don't know.
1,000 and 1,001.
1,000 and weight.
Yeah, weight and strength are 1,000 and 1,001. So your delta is 1.
Delta 1, yeah.
And your other one is 50 and 100.
50 and 100.
Right, so your delta there is 50. You want that on the bottom up there. But he can't carry the other one.
But can the other one carry him?
Yeah, I don't know, but just can we rate the degrees? Six.
They can carry each other. They can carry each other.
I can't come up with a case of this actually failed.
Well, let's think about that. Let's think carefully. Okay. Well, if you can't, then you need a proof. Okay. And once you have your proof, then you can use it. But let's think about this. I mean, maybe you'd have a chance of looking for a proof or looking for a counterexample. Guys, what do we think about this? Is there anything sort of weird thinking? What if this was, I'll tell you what though, what if this was 1,002 and this was 1? Now here we've got a delta of 2. Here you've got a delta of 99. Is that the way that now they're sorted by strength, but what is the only way that you can get two of them to go?
The delta 99.
So this one might be good for that, right? Does everybody agree with that? Now I think proving that sorting it by delta is not good enough, right? That if you sort it by delta, it might be that the longest path would be not necessarily ordered by delta. Does everybody agree with that? That's what that proves. Okay? Are there any other orderings that might be useful? Now you're talking about residual strength. You said you want the residual. What other criteria might you want on turtles?
Weights. Weights are important because you want the lightest turtle to be on top.
So what if you sorted them by weight? Would that do what you wanted? Could you ever go wrong considering them leftmost to rightmost based on weight? That might be one way to do it. Or what about by brute strength? There's three possible orderings here that have any meaning. One is you sort them by weight. One is you sort them by brute strength. One is you sort them by delta. And I think we've proven that delta doesn't do it. Okay? So maybe one way doesn't. Okay? And that's for you to try to figure out. Okay? You've got a weekend. Okay? Any questions? Okay?
Yes. Try some sort of ratio.
You could use strength. You can sort them in lots of ways, but the important is you need to sort them in a correct way. And a correct way requires an argument. Okay? And so, but I think that actually, if you find that correct way, it may very well be the same basic algorithm and procedure we just outlined would do the trick, right? So you might be able to kill two for the price of one. Yeah.
One algorithm, it sounds like I hear to me, is you want the lightest turtle to be on top.
Right.
So take that guy and put him on top. Then see if we have anybody who can carry him. If so, take
him. So you say, Dougie, you always want the lightest turtle on top? I don't have any reason to believe that that's true.
Because he might have the greater capacity.
And if he can carry 10 billion, and he's the lightest turtle.
The mighty might, mighty might is exactly what, we don't necessarily want him to be, he might be better off at the bottom.
Because he can definitely be stuck on the bottom of any other stack he could create.
Greens should have possibilities.
Well, what I claim is, think about it, okay? But I want to claim that the basic machinery is
thinking about it, the lightest third is always going to be, is wrong. Okay, because it depends upon the relationship of that term to everybody else. What you want is an ordering where you never go wrong, and then a recurrence relation to give you what you want, right? As to what that ordering actually is once you have the bag. You have that, one gets the ordering, then a recurrence relation, which might be this recurrence relation with different conditions on the edges to figure out the height. Any questions?
Just one thing, for the weights and measures, there's definitely a way to sort it, so that there's like a beginning and a place to start with and a place to end, so to speak.
I think so. Okay. Actually, the reason I'm wavering a little bit is because, remember, I didn't originally come in here wanting to teach you about DAGs today. You guys came up with this algorithm. Okay. And it looks like a great way to do it. Okay? In fact, if you want another hint here, again, I didn't get to go through my lecture today. I'll do this next time. But in the book, there's a problem. I show you how to do this using, to compute, solve the following problem. This is my last slide of today, or of what was going to be the whole lecture. So I haven't shown you the stuff before it. But there is a problem that I claim can be solved as a special case of dynamic programming, of any distance computation, called maximum monotone subsequence. A numerical sequence is monotonically increasing if the ith element is at least as big as the I plus first element. The maximum monotone subsequence problem seeks to delete the smallest number of elements from an input string so as to leave a monotonically increasing sequence. Okay? So, this may or may not, I'm thinking that this is sort of, see what the problem is? I'm going to give you a sequence of numbers. This may actually be the same problem as the other one. Okay? Maybe more closely related to the elephant problem than the turtle one. But suppose I give you a sequence of numbers, and I want to know what is the longest increasing sequence you can derive. Maybe what is the smallest number of elements you have to delete such that the remaining list is monotonically increasing. Could we have written our IQ problem, our elephant problem, in terms of this? I told you I could solve, give you a subroutine to solve maximum increasing monotone sequence.
Yeah, it's the same idea. Each number represents an elephant in their swim, you have them. Your string is them in the topological sorted order.
Okay, and what is the but how do I make the numbers? It seems like it's closely related. This is sort of right now. This problem is saying that I've got. I'm doing basically this numerical comparison, right?
Right.
You've got maybe a more complicated comparison here. That's really the difference here. It's sort of a combination of...
Well, yeah.
Of,
it's condition is weight, the number is strength, so to speak. And you've got to sort it by weight, now you're seeing how great a sequence you can get it by strength.
So, okay, again, there's two different problems we're going to grab on the board. One way to do it might have been, suppose we had sorted the elephant by weight. Now is what I'm looking for a longest increase in subsequence of IQs? Is that really what I'm doing here? Suppose the elephant had been sorted by weights, so that they were decreasing. Then basically, really, my problem would then reduce to longest increasing sequence of IQs, right? So, in fact, if you guys hadn't come up with this DAG idea, which I think is a great way to do it, by the way, okay, would be basically if you did edit distance computation with the proper settings. Again, I haven't talked about edit distance. I'll do it next time if you guys interested. You can certainly read it in the book, okay? Then, in fact, all that this really is longest increasing subsequence. Okay? And I want to claim that a similar idea might hold for the turtles as well as the elephants. Once you figure out what the right initial order was, the topological order that you needed. Okay?
I think we can sort of think about that and talk about that next time.
Any questions? Okay? But the punchline is these first two problems should be solvable by short programs. Okay? And that you should understand the theory of at least one of them and be pretty close to the theory of the other one. Okay? So hopefully we can make those turtles and elephants fly. Any questions? Okay? And what's interesting about it, though, is that the nice thing about doing it this way is you don't have to learn anything about the magic with the words of dynamic programming, which sometimes people get confused with. So think about this. I encourage you to do this, and then when you get stuck or you want to get better educated, read the chapter. Okay? Or we'll talk about it next time. Any questions? Okay. Thanks a lot. Interesting.